This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We embrace the Masters night like no other state, and you saw it everywhere. You saw people wearing hats, whether they were there or had been there. You saw the shirts. You saw neighborhoods flowing with Masters conversation, and rightfully so. It is something that we're certainly proud of here in the great state of Georgia. But Rory comes in, Mike, and does what everybody had hoped that he would do, and that is complete the career Grand Slam. He now has 5 majors, but more importantly, to win in the fashion that he did. And we've been talking about it today here on Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening. I think there's 2 storylines, right, that are working here simultaneously. One, not as big because the bigger story is obviously Rory. But, you know, when you come in second in the last 2 U.S. Opens, you know, in 22, he came in second to Cam Smith at the Old Course. He's been so close in some of these majors, Mike. And so it felt that way on Sunday, like he was going to find a way to blow it.
Yeah, and when he misses that putt, when he hits the bogey on 18, and again, this was something that, we'll walk it back chronologically. When you and I talked about it earlier, when he basically lays up, because DeChambeau is kind of imploding, so he plays a conservative in the middle of, at the end of Amen Corner on 13. Instead of going for it in 2, which of course he has that shot in his bag, he lays up.
Yeah.
And then he dunks the third shot in Rae's Creek, which is like, dude, if you're going to lay up, you can't do that. And you're thinking like, wow, this is where the wheels are going to come off. But then he's able to get back and get it together. He really was. He was a roller coaster. It was the best, highest rated, by the way, Masters Carl since 2018. So people responded to the soap opera element of it. But Rory then hanging on and, you know, in the playoff. And Justin Rose, by the way, Justin Rose left for dead. I give him credit for getting his ish together on the back nine. 2 bogeys, though, on 14 and 17 ultimately cost him.
Rory led by 2. Fell behind by 2. Led by 5. Then you had a 3-way tie. This thing was filled with drama. And listen, it got a life of its own. And we talk about this all the time now with social media. It used to be either you were watching it or you weren't, or you called somebody and said, are you watching this? Now, Mike, with social media, people are getting these updates and you're seeing your friends and you're all of a sudden like you feel like you're missing out if you're not watching it, even if you're not a golf fan. And that's kind of what happened. And then when they go to the playoff, I didn't know what was going to happen. I felt like Rory had gotten in his head after missing the putt in 18, and I said, boy, is he going to be able to put it back together? 314-yard drive, his second shot. I don't know if he could hit that ever again. I mean, he hit some great shots, but you talk about 4 feet and the birdie winner. Mike, he put it in the perfect place. It gets the roll back down the slope there, and Rory is a champion. That's the one story, and I'm going to let you hear Rory. The other is Bryson DeChambeau now becomes the guy that's going to be asked moving forward, when are you going to win a Masters?
Right.
And the tide has churned in for Rory, where this has been the conversation for, you know, the last 15 years. Now it's DeChambeau, who does have the game, but there were cracks in his game, and you saw it. I thought he caved under the pressure, Mike, when he had an opportunity.
And, you know, as we say, I mean, like, if you haven't been watching golf and you never saw this guy play before, you're like, why is he holding the club like that? You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, and we talked about, I always say, he's like Phil, because Phil was very idiosyncratic. Remember, Phil, he'd have, like, X amount of wedges or drivers, depending on the club, you know, the course he's playing. And Phil, sometimes you always felt maybe overthought it sometimes. And certainly DeChambeau is that guy. But, I mean, I like him. He interacts with the crowd. He won the U.S. Open last year. I mean, him and the fact that they asked him, you and Rory talk, said, nope, Rory didn't say a word to me. And then a lot of folks had a problem with Rory. Why? He's trying to do. He's focusing on his thing. He doesn't really like DeChambeau as it is, so he's not going to pretend. They did show sportsmanship, as you said, before they shook hands, and afterwards they shook hands, and he congratulated him on social media. But you're right, DeChambeau now, and he's the guy that's waving the. Let's be honest, he's the standard bearer for LIV Golf. John Rahm did get respectable, got into an under par situation.
He did.
But he was a hot mess over the weekend. Dustin Johnson didn't make the cut. Koepka didn't make the cut. So the LIV Golf thing continues, but DeChambeau is still, he's going to be their poster boy.
Yeah, and again, I thought he crumbled under the weight of the moment and then made some bad decisions. Listen, his irons failed him, his accuracy was off, and his putting was crap. And at the end of the day,
does he not get the distance right on 12?
It's ridiculous.
Now, for guys who don't know, that's over the water. That's Race Creek in front. That's the par three. And it's like, you got it down. You're talking about the wind and you're talking about the directions and the vertices and the angle. It's 100. What's a 165 yard shot in your club? Hit that.
Yeah, it's pitch. It's
like,
a pitching wedge.
You know, like David, what was it? Peter Alice from BBC used to say, how about hitting it straight? Hit it straight. Aim for the freaking flag. What is going on with you guys?
Yeah, but it made for great television,
right.
And at the end of the day, Rory is the champion. Let's hear from him talking about the winning putt on the playoff hole.
Rory back and through, and he's made it! He's done it! It's a grand slam roar at Augusta National! Rory McIlroy!
Mike Tirico with the call, guys, as Rory wins the Masters. Here he is talking about his approach to the playoff hole.
I think I had 2 yards less in the playoff than I did in regulation. It was a little bit of a flatter lie as well. So I knew I had a perfect, you know, a three-quarter gap wedge was going to land into the slope and come back. So it was a good number. I just needed to make a good committed swing. And, you know, I made one at the right time.
It's great stuff. And again, we always talk about how, you know, if you are a golf fan, if you're not, even you can appreciate, you know, the beauty of the shot. And how about CBS? This is what I love with Nance and those guys. A lot of TV networks could take a cue from this. Let the thing, it's not radio. Tirico has to tell you what's doing. He's doing radio. Mm-hmm. But the way CBS is, let the thing breathe. And you saw Rory doing all his handshakes and his dapping up all the people from everybody on tour to, you know, his advisors and got a cadre of people, his managers, et cetera.
I thought it was the most beautiful moment, to be honest with you, because the story is the picture. It's
right.
let it happen. And you're right. I talked about Nance earlier. He could have easily jumped in and tried to make it about him. Like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He didn't say anything. So I think, guys, this helps, obviously, going into next year because, you know, we still have majors left. But obviously, with Bryson coming back, and, you know, the top 12 guys automatically get invited back. But Bryson coming back, and now the questions will be about him. Mm-hmm. It won't be about Rory. And Mike said it. Here's the other thing about Rory before we let you hear, you know, about his emotional reaction on 18. Does he take this now and take off? Is all that pressure off, and all of a sudden, Mike, he's just winning majors, and just now he's starting to rack up dubs, and you're going, wow, okay, he truly is the best golfer in the world, because Scottie Scheffler is still that guy. Scheffler didn't put himself in position to do that, but in this particular tournament, like, it made you wonder, now that the pressure's off, does he do that?
Right, because remember, guys, you know, runners up, and we talked about losing the British Open. Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, said, oh, he choked at the British Open, ha, 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 when they were on the practice tee, which finally the media picked that up, and that made the rounds today on social media. But yeah, now maybe they come in bunches. That's the big question, because it wasn't just that he couldn't win the Masters. He couldn't win the British. He couldn't win the PGA. He couldn't win the U.S. Open the last 11 years.
Mm. All right, here's Rory talking about that emotional, as he drops to his knees, reaction. He's crying. It was great.
I would say it was 14 years in the making from, you know, going out with the four-shot lead in 2011. You know, feeling like I could have got it done there. And yeah, there was a lot of pent-up emotion that just came out on that 18th green. And a moment like that makes all the years and all the close calls worth it.
And as we said, man, and let's be honest, Carl, call it what it is. It's kind of like the post-Tiger world now. As much as you and I, we keep the torch lit for Tiger, it just seems like we're just never going to see him compete at this level. So this is your cast of characters the next couple of years.
Yeah, and Tiger put out a nice post last night, actually, and congratulating Rory. You know they're good friends. And, you know, he always has wanted to see Rory win this thing. But he says, Tiger says, welcome to the club.
Right on.
Completing the Grand Slam at Augusta is something special. Your determination during this round and this entire journey is shown through. And now you're part of history. Proud of you. So that was from Tiger Woods last night. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One other Rory soundbite I want you to hear. And it's just, I don't know, man. When you say, hey, I can call myself a Masters champion, nobody could ever take the green jacket away from him, Mike. I love to see him win multiples, but we know there are very few guys who have done it, right? We're talking about like four guys in the history of golf when you're talking about multiple wins at the Masters. But here's Rory.
It feels incredible. This is my 17th time here, and I started to wonder if it would ever be my time. And I think, you know, the last 10 years coming here with the burden of the Grand Slam on my shoulders and trying to achieve that, I'm sort of wondering what we're all going to talk about going into next year's Masters. But I'm just absolutely honored and thrilled and just so proud to be able to call myself a Masters champion.
Crazy, man. And I know you talked about your spread as you guys were enjoying, because that's what happens.
A lot of
folks,
you know, bars, I know over at the Batter and Antique, a lot of guys had a whole Masters theme set up for the weekend. But
drinks, the whole nine.
In our neighborhood, a lot of guys play golf, so we're all hanging out and just smoking cigars and, you know, eating tomato cheese sandwiches, thanks to the wife, and just having a good old time, man.
Yeah, we did the same thing, man, and it's just, you have to embrace it. And that's what I was saying earlier about our great state. Like, nobody embraces the Masters like we do. Mm-hmm. You can go other places and people dig it. They like it. They're going to watch it. Here, it's different. And, you know, the crazy thing is when you see somebody with a Masters hat, if you really know what's going on, what do? When'd you go? Yeah, right? Exactly. It's the first thing you ask. When'd you go? And somebody always says, oh, well, no, I had a friend and they got me a hat, but I haven't been. Man, I want to go so bad. Right. I play with a guy who's been playing 50 years. He's a great golfer. And he's like, I just want to go one time. And he may not ever get a chance because those badges, Mike,
they ain't cheap.
They're hard to come by. But he's one of these guys, like so many of us, that just dream about having an opportunity to go. And I've said it. Put it on your bucket list. You saw how it was. You saw the patrons on Sunday and how they stayed. And obviously the energy of the crowd. There's just nothing like it, man.
Pretty wild, you know, from people who just drive out to spend the day there to 150 private planes at Augusta Airport. That video we saw was pretty wild. Our friends from Wheels Up and everybody else that got out there. But, yeah, it was amazing. I haven't been now going on. Wow, it's been over like 12 years now. I know you were there in 21.
Yeah.
Thanks to Andy Bunker, by the way, for getting me the lid this year for this one. So, yeah, man, it's something that we had fun. We weren't even there on Wednesday. There was so much energy out there at Twin Peaks, just down the street.
I agree. It's just about being there. But, you know, the part is, like, it takes planning. You're not just going to roll up to Augusta and be like, hey, I mean, you could obviously drive back to Atlanta, but you're just not going to roll up and be like, hey, I need a room. Either way, congratulations to Rory. It was amazing. Hey, we got a big show tomorrow coming up.
Let's talk about our Hawks. I don't like this matchup with the Magic, man. I know this game that they played yesterday didn't really mean anything. None of the big guys, you know, Banchero didn't play and Wagner didn't play. Trey didn't play for the Hawks either. So I don't like the matchup.
Well, look, you got to find a way to get it done. If you win, we said this, you get to chill until Saturday and then you start a series with the Celtics, which would be ideal. If you don't win, you turn right back around and you're playing on Friday. Loser goes home.
Yeah, it's the winner of the Heat and the Bulls, and we can't bring home the bacon against the Magic tomorrow.
Yeah, so lots to get to there. Hey, man, as we finish up, I do want to mention this, Mike, and Chris has got you coming up for the night show. Make sure you stay right here. I saw this story over the weekend, and it broke my heart. And then to see what Malik Nabers had to say about his former teammate, Kyron Lacy. If you didn't see this, this young man was going into the NFL draft. Malik Nabers obviously was at LSU when Lacy was there. And he just put a post out that said, you know, I'm numb, I'm sad, I'm downcast, I'm heartbroken. And he was talking about Lacy. If you don't know the story, he crashed his vehicle while being pursued by cops Saturday night. Police said that when they removed him from the car, he was already gone. But his death comes 4 months after he was arrested for allegedly involvement in a car that crashed and killed a 78-year-old man in Louisiana.
He was a Marine veteran, yeah.
So he was having a lot of issues just mentally coping. And the point is, if you need help, get help. If somebody's out there and you hear this and, like, you're wondering, hey, I can't move on, I can't go on, just get help. Because there's so many people today who are talking about Lacy and what a great kid he was and what a bright future he had. But, Mike, he was really dealing with some stuff and wasn't able to work through
it. He had to make some better decisions a couple months ago.
All right, man. We got to get out of here. Stay tuned. Chris is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.